Live from the Colorado Media School campus in Lakewood, Colorado, the premier radio show on GoMileHigh.com, this is The Press Box.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The Press Box here at GoMileHigh.com. What a day it's been today.
What a day. What a day.
NBA trade line, deadline, day, whatever. We're going to recover it all. I'm Gordon Bartolik with Anthony Hirsch, Jack Jones running the board.
Dude, I mean, every single year, the trade deadline just gets crazier and crazier. It's becoming so important in the NBA.
It's starting to get crazier than the baseball deadline.
Oh, and the baseball one was the one that kind of dominated the headlines for so long.
NFL trade deadline's nothing. NHL, sorry, Estelle, but who cares?
You see NFL trade deadline, there's one big move, you know?
If that. You'll see
one
like
one or two, but
yeah.
It's usually not like the NBA.
Two threes going for a second rounder or something like that.
I can confidently say the NBA is way better, and I'm a big hockey fan. NBA is way better.
The NBA trade deadline, that today has been ridiculous, like ridiculous.
I've never seen a deadline, at least when it comes to basketball. I've seen it in baseball a little bit, but just the nature of the game, a couple of trades, even major trades, don't change your team.
The Los Angeles Lakers completely have a different team.
Different team, like a different starting five. I'm not talking about, oh, it's so different. I'm not using any kind of hyperbole here. It's a different team. There's different names at almost every position that's going to be coming on the floor their next game.
Yeah. So we'll go ahead and start off with probably the biggest one from today, quote unquote, technically, because this was done in Eastern time at 1:03 or 1:05 a.m. Kevin Durant is going to Phoenix.
Yeah, that move absolutely makes me so unbelievably mad, because I understand that the West was going to stack up. They needed to fight something because the Nuggets were running away with it. But man, KD just goes from super team to super team to super team. And it's just, I get it. He's an NBA star. He can do what he wants. He wants to win more championships. It's just pathetic at this point, though. He's just going from stacked squad to stacked squad, and it's been unsuccessful for so long, and now he's coming to take what is the Nuggets right now, and it makes me so mad. Oh,
man, I just got to go against you there. I think, obviously, with the Warriors, it was KD's decision. Now, KD didn't have a no-trade clause. He didn't have any say to where he would get traded to. And honestly, up until, I want to say, like 2, maybe 3 days ago, I don't think anyone thought KD was being traded. I thought everyone thought they're just going to ship out Kyrie, keep KD. They're the fifth seed currently in the East. Keep it rolling. But it really came out of nowhere. I was honestly shocked to see it.
I can agree. This one wasn't as much him doing it as the Suns really wanted him. And I guess I can't put that blame on him. It just makes me mad. You know, like, it's those good players that do things that make them even better, and it just makes you mad. It's why people hated LeBron for so many years. I just hate that KD gets in these super good situations because he's such a good player. And it mostly just makes me mad because they're a huge threat to the Nuggets now, and I'm nervous that the Nuggets can't do it. But at the same time, if you want to be a good team, you want to be a championship team, you got to beat elite teams. So
what's making me really mad about this, I think that a lot of the Denver bandwagons, not the true Denver fans, I feel like the true Denver fans fully understand the threat of the Suns. They know they're legitimate.
Yes, definitely.
They know they're their new biggest contender in the West. Mm-hmm. These bandwagon fans, you know, there's a lot of people coming out here and saying, they're like, oh, you know, KD's so injury prone. How does this even help them?
No,
Kevin freaking Durant. Put respect on this man's name.
That's the reason I'm so mad, is because I know he's going to improve their team so much. And, like, we've been beating up on the Suns this year. A couple games where it's just like, yes, Suns and four guys, shut up. But now I'm sitting here like, if the Nuggets play the Suns in the playoffs, I don't know what to expect again. I'm scared because Kevin Durant brings a different level of intensity and play where he can make any shot on the court and defend any player on the court. It's ridiculous.
And also, you're also getting Devin Booker back in the next week or so.
Well, and it's making me mad too, Anthony, that people are like, oh, KD's injury prone and Devin Booker's injured right now. You know, people come back from injuries. Devin Booker is so young and he's still so elite at the shooting guard position. God, this team is so scary.
I think the one thing, looking in terms of Denver fans taking a look at Phoenix, being the kind of level of scaredness going into the playoffs, the one thing I'm concerned about with Phoenix is their lack of depth.
Yeah.
Because they did eliminate a lot of the depth they have. I feel like that's one of the things that have allowed them to tread water with the injuries that they've had to go through so far this year.
It's the price to pay when you want a guy like that, you know. It's this, the Mavericks did the same thing for Kyrie. They give up some good depth pieces that if this works out where you guys are really this elite 1-2 combo, sure, but it's like you look at the Celtics, right? They have that elite 1-2 combo, but they have some of the best depth in the league. They built all that themselves. Now these teams, like the Mavs, they have a great 1-2 combo. Their depth's all right. The Suns have a great starting five. The depth is gone, though. Their best bench player or one of their best defenders, gone. Cam Johnson, who has been injured all year, but was really starting to heat up that finals run they had, gone. Jay Crowder, who's the ultimate depth piece in the NBA, gone. And some picks, too. So, I mean, they are scary in the starting five, but I agree. Their bench, when it comes to bench play, I mean, the Nuggets definitely trump the Suns.
Definitely. Do you find it interesting that they, I understand, just signed a new contract, a little bit difficult to move, but are you surprised that Aiden wasn't involved with this deal with his obvious
disconnect
with the franchise?
I am actually surprised. I was surprised that Chris Paul or Aiden weren't gone because they had been in trade talks kind of all over the place. If they were going to get Kyrie, I mean, Chris Paul's going to be out of there. I mean, that makes sense position-wise. But, yeah, Aiden hasn't felt like he's been bought in all year. You see him play, he gets his, and then kind of is like, all right, I'm cool for the day. But maybe they're thinking, hey, we're serious about this. We're showing you we're serious. Maybe they're thinking he's going to buy in at the end of the season and be the Aiden he used to be. I don't really know. That definitely did surprise me, though, that Aiton stayed and they didn't try to keep some of that value on the bench.
Yeah, definitely. I'm super excited to see CP3 with KD, though. I feel like it's a very similar pairing as Kyrie was to KD, except better.
Yeah, I think they match better because CP3 doesn't need the ball in his hand.
He does not need the ball. Yeah, Kyrie does, and we saw it really bite them last season, I feel like.
Yeah.
In games where they would play, it's almost like they're fighting over the ball more rather than distributing, trying to find the open man. I feel like CP3, he's going to deliver some beautiful dishes over there to KD.
He has three options on the starting five to dish it to that can get a bucket, not anywhere, get Aiden out of there, but Devin Booker and KD can get a bucket anywhere. Those guys are elite scorers in this league, one of them being maybe the best or one of the best scorers in the NBA of all time. The other one, this guy, Devin Booker, gets overlooked. He's one of the best scorers in the NBA today. Like, he figures out a way to score, and he does it. And CP3 has options now. He wants to go down below to Aiden. Oh, beauty. Aiden can move down below. He can shoot the mid-range. So, man, this starting five is scary. Yeah, I'm not going to say what I was about to say because I was about to cuss.
But this has probably been one of the craziest trade deadlines that I've seen in a really long time also. Also speaking about a team out west, Pat Bev from the Lakers, he's going to Orlando now.
I think the best thing I've seen all day long. He was like, hey, me and D'Lo back together. Let's go. And then they ship him out to Orlando. It was, I don't know. I don't really like Pat Bev that much. He's not my favorite player. So I got a good laugh out of
that. I could see him being bought out.
I could too.
Pat Bev doesn't belong on a bad team.
No, he brings a good energy to a good team, and he brings a, I wouldn't say he's like the most elite defender, but he's a good defender, and he brings a fire that some teams need. Like, that's a good playoff player to have, this fire that fuels you. It was like in that, you remember that Clippers and the Clippers and Golden State game where they came back from like 40? Pat Bev was a huge part of that, and he guarded KD. So I think Pat Bev won't stay in Orlando.
I don't either. He's just such a fire starter. Like, his main goal is to try to make other players mad.
Yeah.
It's a skill set that's so specific. It's usually, you know, only a couple players in the league. Right now I can think of literally two, Draymond and Pat Bev.
Yeah, those are their specialties.
It's their specialty.
Getting in other players' heads is needed. He's a trash talker, you know?
But you're telling me you're going to do it to a fundamental team, a developmental team like Orlando? Like, who's that going to help? Who is it going to help?
They don't need a guy like Pat Bev. They have a bunch of guys his size. that are younger than him. Pat Bev has always deserved to be on a good team. He's not an elite player, but he's that last piece you need, you know?
Him on a team like the Nuggets, I feel like, would be interesting. It's tough to say with the different chemistries, and when you have such an emotional player like that, how he'll rub off on other players. But just that, like you said, a piece away, a little bit of a fire starter. I feel like there's some games where the Nuggets need a little bit of a kick in the butt, you know, in the middle of the game.
Like in the third quarter, they're a horrible third quarter team, and Pat Bev would be a great third quarter player for the Nuggets.
And they've been getting worse at third quarters. It seems like beginning of the season, they're doing very well, really correcting the issues from last year. But now, how many times do we see them get a huge lead going into halftime? And it's a close game in the third quarter.
Yeah.
Lose games in the third quarter and then come back in the
fourth. Yeah, definitely. But we'll be talking more about the Nuggets later on tonight. They have a game today in Orlando, oddly enough. But we're going to take a quick timeout. But when we come back, we're going to tease a little bit about some trades that the Nuggets have been making today here at the press box on GoMyHigh.com.
Taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy dingy to the Lama.
What?
You know, the Dalai Lama, his laminescence, flowing robes, the grace, bald, striking really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing. See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed two eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com, Lama. They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
It's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know? From getting all this great experience working in college radio, it makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
This moment of uncontrollable laughter was made possible by a 32-year-old man with little to no coordination attempting to execute a simple cartwheel. His name is Sergeant Warner, but young James, our laughing friend here, simply calls him Dad. The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Ranger Station.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear spotting in the forest. One second I'm having a smoke. Next thing, I'm face to face with Smokey Bear.
Wow.
And he told me it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
Do you know 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans?
I had no idea.
That's why Smokey is famous and you are not. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service or State Forest during the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Welcome back to the press box here at GoMyHigh.com. Talking some NBA trades that have been going on in the last 13 or so hours. Denver Nuggets have been making some moves. They unfortunately say goodbye to Mile High City, Bones Highland, which is very unfortunate. But I think if you're a true Nuggets fan, you saw this trade coming. It was yeah, gonna happen.
I mean, they were talking about it for the past few years. It's partially being young and having maybe a little bit of issues with Maddie. And you know, my honesty loves Bones and soldiers in there, which is unfortunate for my job. But as a Nuggets fan, I'm very happy for what he's traded because he did end up overall trading. Is a player that we absolutely needed if we're going to make a deep playoff run, because DeAndre Jordan, he can't be our number two center. He just can't. And we don't have another guy that fits. I mean, Zeke Nagy, he's 6'9". He can fit the role a little bit, but now we've got maybe a guy with a little bit more height. He's a little bit more consistent on the offensive end. He's a good defender. I am really, really happy with what the Nuggets did today. I think they did exactly what they needed.
I think that was a good point you brought up. Biggest loser of this trade is Jack, unfortunately. He's going to be folding up freaking Bones jerseys for the next month.
Hey, listen, the biggest loser is me, because now all the Bones jerseys are going to be on the sales rack. And hey, nobody's going to buy them.
No, I'll buy one.
Hey, maybe I will too. They'll be like $50. So.
Once I get down to like 30, then I'll... seriously consider it.
Jack, if you and I can agree on a deal, then I can strike something.
I can almost guarantee that there will be Bones jerseys on the sales rack next season. So, you know, I'll let you know.
It might be that one or the Cam Reddish Knicks jersey. Let's figure that one out.
Yeah, but I mean, as the Nuggets, they gave up Bones. We knew it was going to happen. But I mean, the piece of Thomas Bryant, I am like super ecstatic about it. I've been saying it all year long. They need a defending big man that can back up Jokic, that's better than DeAndre, that maybe is a little younger than DeAndre. They got a guy that averages 12 a game, 6 rebounds. He shoots 60% from the field, 40% from three. He can defend decently well. I mean, he was a nice piece there on the Lakers, and I think that is huge for the Nuggets. I never even thought of him, but right when they made the trade, I was like, yes, let's go, because who's Devon Reed? Come on. You guys even know who he is?
Exactly. I didn't know who he was until I got that headline from Woj.
I think he played a solid like 30 minutes overall this year.
That's crazy.
So he would play definitely with Smith when he came in the game.
Go ahead, Gordon.
And then, speaking on the Bones trade, the Clippers will send the Nuggets a 2024 and 2025 second round picks. And at first, when you look at it, you're thinking, why are we sending a player that could be a starter for picks? And then you let it sit on you for a while, and then you're thinking to yourself, maybe the Nuggets are trying to send those picks to someone else.
You could also think about it in this way. The move of Bones for nobody else frees up cap space and money. And, you know, even after the trade deadline is over, if you don't know, there's this thing called a buyout. You can buy out a player who got traded to a team, but they don't want to keep him, right? So guys like Russell Westbrook, Pat Bev, Reggie Jackson, they're all on that market. I'm guessing there's more. John Wall, I'm guessing, will get bought out too. They're all on this mark of where teams can buy them out because they don't want to be on these bad teams they got traded to. And the Nuggets have plenty of money to do that. So I'm thinking this was a long-term thing after the trade deadline. And the Nuggets might be looking to buy out a guy like Reggie Jackson or – I mean, I don't know about John Wall, but maybe they're trying to buy out John Wall. Someone like that for a backup solidified point guard position, which if the Nuggets buy out Reggie Jackson, I'm going to come on the show freaking out because they're a championship team fully after that.
I think the Nuggets have to ask themselves a couple of questions, and maybe they let it play out over a couple of games just to kind of test the waters. But I think they have to determine how much of a role upgrade do they want a guy like Bruce Brown to have. Because if you're confident enough in Bruce Brown, personally I am, I think that he is at this point. If you're confident enough in him to step up as a true six man, knowing that most of the scoring output for that second unit is going to be coming from him, if they feel he's ready for that yet, or if maybe they're saying, hey, look, he's been great for us this year, we don't think he's at that level yet, maybe let's go look at an option like Pat Bev. Mm-hmm. The only thing in my mind is, if you keep that space open, I know we're in such a championship now mentality here in Denver, but there's going to be a good free agent class coming up this next year. Oh, if there's another guy who could slide in there.
Also, Bruce Brown is only on a one-year deal. If they really like him a lot and want to re-sign him, because he's going to want more money, obviously. He's on a pretty small contract right now. If they want to keep that money, wait for the end of the season, give him a nice little contract that he deserves, because obviously for the play he's given the Nuggets, he deserves way more money. They want to keep a guy like that for a couple more years. Yes, you can buy him. I don't know how long KCP is in, but guys like that that we just got this year that we're really liking, you can give him bigger contracts.
It's fair. I think Bruce Brown, like, if you take a look at his numbers just overall this year, he plays more minutes than Bones did.
He averages about the same amount of points and such, gets a couple more assists, couple more rebounds.
Better field goal percentage.
But the biggest part of it and why he gets picked over Bones, defense. Bruce Brown plays some dang good defense, and that is why I would love to see him as a Nugget for years to come.
And it was one thing if we're saying that Bones is playing mediocre defense, he's doing his job defensively. He is a negative on the defensive end. He will hurt your team defensively.
Yeah, when he was on the floor, the Nuggets were horrible on defense, especially with those guards, and the amount of elite guards here in the NBA as of now, it feels like almost every team has some sort of an elite guard or shooting guard. You've got to have one at this point in the NBA where they're one of your better players, and Bones can't guard that. He just doesn't really have that defensive mind in him. He wants to shoot long threes. He wants to shoot big threes. He wants to be the big point scorer, which is fine. Some guys are like that. But one day he's going to have to figure out how to play defense if he wants to be a solidified starter. And I don't think the Nuggets are looking to develop him right now. They're looking to develop a guy like Christian Brown, who already has the defense, and they can work with him on the offensive end. That's why Bones isn't as attractive to Mike Malone and the Nuggets front office, because we're a great offensive team. We're one of the best offensive teams in the league. That's not what we need to fix. We've been fixing the defense, and it's getting better by week, but he never helped. Brown, Christian Brown, he helps, and you can work with a guy in his shot. You can work with a guy and stuff like that, and that's an easier fix than teaching a guy how to play NBA defense.
Do you think that this trade still goes down the way it did, the way that they did get rid of Bones and picked up a guy like Bryant? Do you think it still goes down if the KD trade doesn't happen? Because in my mind, I'm seeing they're trying to match up here with Phoenix. Because now you have now you could put Joker on Aiden, on a little bit less of the little bit less athletic guy. Mm-hmm. Put Bryant on KD. You're so much better defensively than you would be prior.
You know, I didn't even really think about that, and that's a really, really good point. Maybe that was a little bit influenced to getting a guy like Bryant, because maybe before, Bryant was never in the trade talk. It was Vanderbilt. It was McDaniels. It was who's that?
Hachimura?
No, it's Thibault?
Thibault?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It was those type of guys, and it was big wings, right? Not a power forward or center type of guy. It was big defensive wings, and Bryant was never in there. So that is a good point. Maybe they were like, oh, crap. I mean, KD's over here. We got to get some more help if we're going to play the Suns, and we want to – because now you're expecting it in the West that what in my mind it would be is the Suns versus the Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals. That's who we would have to beat to get to a championship. Who knows how it works out, but in my mind, that's how I'm thinking of it now. So, yes, that might have been part of the move, is to be able to match up with the Suns better.
I'm super interested to see how the Clippers look after the mass amount of deals that they got done today. Somehow they got Houston to get John Wall back. I don't know how anyone agreed to that deal. John Wall hated Houston, and Houston hated him.
Oh, it's so funny how he's back there, because he's come out and said that he hated them. Houston basically said that they didn't like him. They agreed on that. It was like, let's part ways.
He could have played last year. Like, he could have played. He just hated the organization so much.
I saw TikTok, and they told them that he was going to – the owners wanted him to play 10 to 15 minutes a game and be a role player and teach the young guys stuff. And he was like, yeah, I don't want to do that. I'm not doing that. I can still play in this league, and I need more minutes than that. I should be your starting point guard, not coming off the bench. And so they had a dispute, and then he left the Rockets. And look where he is now. He's right back on them. Somebody must – be buying him out, because there's no way the Rockets want him. There's no way.
There's
no.
What I really hope doesn't happen is he just sits another season in Houston.
He doesn't deserve
to. No.
But but also with his performance so far with LA, with the Clippers this year, it's been bad. It has been so much worse than his season. I mean, his career averages. Like, his points per game's down to about 7, which is a huge number. So, I don't know. Maybe there isn't a team out there that it really benefits him for the kind of money you would have to get for him.
And you're thinking, like, Nuggets, like, they could use a backup point guard if they needed anybody. I don't want John Wall. I do not want him at all. If the Nuggets were to buy out John Wall, I'd be pretty upset because he's not a guy I want, and he'd be worth some money.
Do you think John Wall – let's forget about the cap situation for now. Do you think he could bring value to Denver as a backup PG? Just with the he's able to do so much. He's a starting point guard. I think he has starting point guard potential. But specifically for the Nuggets, could you see it? Do you think he wants too big of a role on the team? If he's lucky, he's lucky. Situation. Do you think it's Denver's just a place where they can't have a bigger name backup PG? It just doesn't work with Jamal in there?
Nope. Because they set their sights on Jamal.
I know it's too late now. One guy I would be very interested to see, just for the coolness of it, D. Rose maybe. Backup. I feel like that would be a good spot for him, but obviously missed out.
That would be awesome.
Yep, well, we're going to hit a quick timeout here. We'll be right back after this.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it, too.
This is where we start out, you know? From getting all this great experience working in college radio, it makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
I'm taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy dingy to the Lama.
What?
You know, the Dalai Lama, his laminescence, flowing robes, grace, bald, striking really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing. See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed 2 eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com, Lama. They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
That's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
This moment of uncontrollable laughter was made possible by a 32-year-old man with little to no coordination, attempting to execute a simple cartwheel. His name, Sergeant Warner. But young James, our laughing friend here, simply calls him Dad. The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the...
Hey, Billy, want to go to the state fair?
Yeah!
Well, you can't. Well, you see, Billy, when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have done with it. But now your parents are becoming energy efficient. They can save hundreds of dollars a year and take you to the fair next year.
I want to go now!
Aw, I know you do. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at energysavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
So we are back from commercial break, and it was three of us, and now it's just the two of us.
Yep, Anthony, just me and Gordon.
Anthony just left us now. The wuss had to go get stitches out. I could have done it for him.
Yeah, he could have just done it right here, right now.
Whatever, I guess. He wants a doctor to do it or something. Whatever, but as we mentioned before, the Nuggets taking on the Orlando Magic tonight. That will be at 5 p.m. Mountain Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, starting in the next 30 minutes.
It'll start right as we end the show.
So I'll be turning on the TV right after the show. But going into the game, not a whole lot of notable injuries. I mean, Najee and Murray out. It seems like Jamal Murray's going to be out again.
Which is perfectly fine. The next three games, anybody could sit out, and I'd be fine because they're playing kind of doo-doo teams, and they'll probably lose one in there, and it's all right.
Yeah, and I mean, and plus, I wouldn't count out this game against the Magic because this was a Magic team not too long ago who kind of they held on to us until the very end when Nikola Jokic hit that buzzer beater right at the end, which was amazing.
You know, tonight's a game that I could see the Nuggets dropping just because, you know, they're probably going to think it's an easy game. They had a long road trip to Orlando. The trade deadline just happened, and you're almost to the All-Star break. You're in the home stretch, the All-Star break. If they drop it, they drop it. You know, they're not going to lose to the Hornets. I know that for sure.
If there was a game that the Nuggets could drop without anyone arguing, it would be tonight.
Yeah.
And because you do not want to drop to Charlotte because they're the worst.
They're even worse.
And Miami.
Miami just, we got Miami's number. I don't think yeah. they could do anything to us. They didn't make any moves in the trade deadline, try to improve their team and all. So I don't think the Nuggets will get Bryant for a couple games. Maybe we'll see him after the All-Star break or we'll see him in that Charlotte game.
Well, he is on the list tonight as out for Nuggets report, so maybe
we'll see him in Charlotte.
He can join us in Charlotte or Miami, but
I can't wait. But
it's going to be so fun.
I'm expecting the Nuggets to win tonight, but if they lose, oh well. I mean, they are playing good basketball. It'll be a close game, I can tell you that one. I would take the Magic against the spread, even if they don't win. I wouldn't have them winning against the spread, but I would maybe take that just because it's going to be a close game. The Orlando always plays the Nuggets pretty close, so should be a good one tonight. We'll see a lot of CB tonight, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
A decent amount of Jokic. It depends on how Jokic and if MPJ comes out and has a great game, I don't think we're losing. So
no. We'll it should be a good game. And another good game tonight is going to be Milwaukee at the Lakers, which was the game that I thought LeBron was going to hit the record at.
Yeah.
But he did it the other night against OKC. But, you know, a good game between a good team in the East and then a Lakers team who have bulked up lot.
Here's the thing about the Lakers. They made so many moves today, and they play tonight, but their whole starting lineup's different at this point. How many of those players are playing tonight? Like, are they going to have a starting five, or are they going to have scrub squad out there?
Well, because technically, D'Angelo Russell happened yesterday, yeah, February 8th.
So he is a
day-to-day who could potentially play because he did not play in Minnesota last night wherever they were.
I'm guessing maybe Russell, Vanderbilt, and Beasley will make it in tonight, but the moves they made today, maybe not. I don't know. It'd be interesting. I think the Bucks should win that. They didn't make a ton of moves. They did get Jay Crowder, which is he's back in Milwaukee. He's ready to do it again, so we won't see him tonight. But should be a good game. Excited for that one.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And just want to look at the standings on both sides of the NBA as we get ready to head to the All-Star break, not this weekend, but next weekend. Out in the East, you have Boston.
You can't have that 5 seed of the Nets stay there, though. I don't think they're going to drop out of the playoffs, but they're going to be a play-in team. I think they're going to be a lot like the Utah Jazz. Very deep, but don't really have an all-star on their team. They'll have a young player that has really good potential that will probably start to pop off, like Markkanen. But they'll be like a 9 or an 8 seed play-in team. They still got Simmons who can facilitate for them. But they won't stay at that 5 spot. I think that Miami will definitely jump them. I think the Knicks could jump them with a couple moves they made today. So it'll be interesting for sure.
Yeah, well, actually, Miami, they're number 6 right now. So
yeah, they'll jump them to go to five, probably. And the Knicks are 7. They'll probably go to 6. And I'm guessing the Brooklyn will be one of those play-in teams.
Yeah, so like I said, Boston in first place. They were on a heater, but now they've kind of slowed down a little bit, and Milwaukee's starting to catch up to them again.
Those are definitely the teams, along with the Sixers, honestly. Those three teams are the teams to beat in the East. The Cavaliers are kind of on the butt end of that. I think they're a good team. I just don't think they're ready yet this year. I think after a half a year, three-fourths of a year play with this squad, they will be an elite team, top three in the East next year. But those are the four teams really to look out for in the East, and it's going to be a fight to the top for them. I mean, they got a road to go, but, you know, in one day's time, the East was so dominant, and now we are back to evening out the playing field where the Nuggets lead it as the one seed. I don't think they're really going to lose ground on that, but we're going to see a couple teams in the West kind of jump up and maybe bite them in the butt a little bit, like the Suns, maybe the Mavericks. We'll see how that goes with Kyrie. I see the Grizzlies dropping around to 4. I think the Suns will really make a big improvement, end up jumping up to that 2 seed.
Yeah, and obviously Nuggets in first place in the West. They're 4.5 games ahead of Memphis right now, which has helped us a lot because Memphis last week were right behind us, but they've
played horrible.
They've been playing really bad. They've lost a bunch of games.
It's all because of Uncle Shannon. Yeah. Doing Denver good, baby. Yes. Ever since that game, they've been playing horrible.
Yes.
And those reports about John Morant with a guy in his car, and there's a gun pointed out of it after that Pacers game has come out. And there's just a lot of drama around the Grizzlies right now, and I think it's definitely taking a toll on them.
Yeah, Uncle Shannon, thank you.
Thank you, Uncle Shannon. Thank you.
And then another team who started off the season a little hot was New Orleans and then just went on a 10-11-12 losing streak, dropping them all the way down to a play-in spot.
It shows you how important Zion is to that team. He is that main guy on that team. You need Zion to be playing for that team to be in contention. And so depending on his injury, it says he won't be back before the All-Star break. He's not going to play in the All-Star game. So maybe we'll see Zion after the break, but how far will New Orleans fall? I don't know. It might put them in a spot where it's tough to get back to the top.
And as I look at both of the conferences, the play-in teams are absolutely dogfighting. Out in the East, you have the Knicks, Hawks, Bulls, Raptors. You have the Wizards just out there and the Pacers as well.
And the West is even more of a dogfight. I mean, we have like 7 teams fighting for those 4 spots.
Yeah, so right now as it stands, the playing teams are New Orleans, Minnesota, Golden State, and Portland. And then they're outside of the playing spots, but they're right there
they're
with
like
the Jazz.
Two games.
The Jazz, Thunder, and Lakers are all within the playing spot. And
Watch out for the Thunder in one of those spots. I think they're going to make it this year. I do.
And then you have the Spurs and Rockets down there, but
like 10 games back of
it. Doesn't matter what they're trying to go for the number 1.
They want Wembanyama. Pop wants Wembanyama. So, but I think that the Thunder could jump up in there, and I'm very intrigued because the Lakers have seemed to do this the past couple years where they completely blow up their squad going into the trade deadline and have they've done it like the past 3 years where they have a completely different team after the trade deadline. You know, I like the talent they have now. I'm very interested to see how it goes. I think the Lakers could even jump up into a playing spot, but we will have to see. It's very interesting. I'll be interested to see if Russ plays any games with the Jazz or if he gets bought out. That would make a big difference. I actually think I might be one of the only ones. I think Russ would be very successful on the Jazz because he finally gets back to that place where he was with OKC. He's got a lot of young players. He's the main facilitator. Everything goes through him. And that was when he was most successful. When he got out of that range, he started playing worse where the game was more on his shoulders. He plays better. So I think it could be good if he played a couple games.
And I think that matchup with Russ and the Finnish Freak,
That would be so good. But, I mean, it's kind of looking like reports are saying that he's probably going to get bought out by a team like the Clippers, the Heat, someone like that that's in need of some point guard help. So it'll be interesting to see how these buyouts go, how these new teams match up, because some teams really swapped everything. I mean, the Warriors made a bunch of moves. Maybe they'll jump into a 6th seed or something like that. So I don't know. It's going to be – the NBA is a everything's completely different after today. There were so many moves that teams are so different that who knows what's going to happen in the end of the season. Suns could jump up to that 1 seed. You never know. And, you know, if the Nuggets don't end as a one seed, I wouldn't be mad as long as they're top three. One seed's a lot of pressure, but it's going to be very interesting. The NBA blew my mind today.
Yeah, one of the craziest days in the NBA. And speaking about the Nuggets, the starting five is out right now. You got Bruce Brown, KCP, MPJ, Aaron Gordon, and the Joker.
How can you beat that squad, man? I mean, put Jamal in for Bruce. It's a good squad.
I've been saying this all season long. This is a championship team.
I said this is the best team the Nuggets have had. Everybody disagreed with me when I said that, and now you all agree. We could go back to that tape, and I'm gonna.
I agreed with you.
You did. I agree with you. I got looks like I was crazy, and I was like, you guys don't understand.
And I can confidently say that Jamal Murray and MPJ, they're back. Oh, they are 100%. The injuries are far behind them, and they are fully back. And I am so excited when we get close to playoffs, because you know teams are going to be scared about them.
And I know that MPJ's not the most consistent. It's his 16 points a game. Awesome. He's starting to play really well. He's getting shots at the team. He's eating Jamal. You're crazy. I love it. This Nuggets team. This is, folks, this is why you don't play.
Definitely. So we're going to take our last time out here on the show, but when we come back, it's Super Bowl week, NFL honors are tonight, and we're going to be previewing a little bit about the big game on Sunday here at the Press Box on GoMileHigh.com.
Miami flagship, me garbage, me beautiful ocean be full of it these days. Many a folk don't know of it, that when they throw their trash on the ground, it eventually makes its way to the ocean. So lend us a hand by always recycling and disposing of your trash properly. And learn more about what you can do. Keep the ocean clean, healthy. KeepOceansClean.org. Brought to you by Keep Oceans Clean, Alliances, and the Outcome.
Imagine me, a dog, moving in with a human. I didn't know how it would work. Turns out, my human is pretty entertaining. For instance, every time I give my human his ball, he throws it as far as he can. And I'm like, dude, that's your ball. So I go get it, but he just throws it. Again. I gotta say though, the more he does it, the funnier it is. I love my human. A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy dingy to the llama. What? You know, the Dalai Lama, his laminescence, flowing robes, grace, bald, striking, really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing. See, the Lama's a big hitter, nailed two eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com, Lama. They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com, so I got that going for me, which is nice.
That's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it, too.
This is where we start out, you know? From getting all this great experience working in college radio, it makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
It is Super Bowl week, in the NFL. The big game happening this Friday, February 12th. The Philadelphia Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs. Arguably the two best teams in the NFL all season long.
Oh, this is the match they anticipated matching of the year. One seed versus one seed. They both 13-4 dominated. The Eagles took the lead by storm after their mediocre season last year. So I'm excited. I got lost in all this yay trade deadline talk that I forgot about this year.
No.
It's such a big day in sports. We also have the NFL honors tonight. It's such a huge night in sports tonight.
Before we move on to the NFL honors and everything, give me your top three foods that you would eat during the Super Bowl.
Buffalo chicken dip. Wings of any kind.
Mm-hmm.
And, you go a couple different ways here. There's, corn dog bites.
Okay. I was going to say, my top three are wings.
Yep. Wings has got to be everybody's.
Any type of dip.
Yeah. If it's chip and dip. Chip any of any kind.
Any kind. And then a pizza, obviously.
Yeah, I was saying pizza, too.
Last night on our Sports Emphasis radio show, our good friend Blake, he mentioned the little cocktail sausages that you'd put in a little crock pot.
Forgot about that.
Yeah, forgot about
or
those
pigs
also.
In a blanket.
Oh.
There's so many. Super Bowl no matter what, it's like the ultimate tailgate day, whether you're at the stadium or not, because everyone makes tailgate food at home.
Definitely.
It's like everybody sits down for the whole day and they're like, we're going to make a bunch of good freaking food and we're going to eat and we're going to get drunk and we're going to watch the Super Bowl.
And we're going to probably watch a bad Super Bowl game, but we don't care.
And we're going to watch Rihanna kill it at halftime. I'm with Josh Dover on this one. I'm so excited for Rihanna halftime show.
It'll be good, but again, before we go to NFL honors, what has been, in your opinion, the best Super Bowl halftime show that you've seen?
Last year, honestly, with all of the rappers, we had Kendrick, we had Eminem, we had Snoop Dogg, 50 Cent, Dr. Dre. Man, that was awesome. I think last year was the best Super Bowl show I've ever seen in my entire life. It was one of the best rated all time as well.
I have to agree with you because of our age, also, we haven't seen a lot of previous Super Bowl halftime shows, but I think in our generational time, I think last year's definitely was up there as one of the best.
That one is one of the most memorable because that hit our generation, but it also hit the hearts of the older generation. Mm-hmm. Because some of these rappers are getting old, but they also had a guy like Kendrick in there, you know? And they had guys like Dr. Dre and Snoop and Eminem for people that are older, but we also like those guys. It fit like every category. Even my mom texted me. She is not a rap person. She texted me and she was like, this is awesome. And I was like, I know, right? This is sweet. So that's got to be one of my favorite. I know Katy Perry dominated it years back, probably 10 years ago. So that was an awesome one too.
Then you had Coldplay also.
Yeah, they had a good
Coldplay was a good one.
The Weeknd had an interesting halftime show. Do you remember that one?
Yes.
I mean, it was good songs, but it was weird.
It was good, but the production level and it was just really weird.
Like a very impressive production level, but it was very weird.
Yeah.
Weeknd's
the choreography
a
in that one was.
He was a little bit of a weird guy. Yeah. And now there's always the Adam Levine when he took his shirt off and was like doing all these sexy dances, and then what, Lady Gaga?
Oh, then Lady Gaga jumping off the roof.
Yeah, there have been some people put on some performances at the halftime show. I think Rihanna's gonna kill it. I think she's gonna dominate it.
Yeah, definitely. But well, finally, you started getting into the NFL honors. That will be tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Mountain Time, 6 Pacific. So we'll get into it. We'll just start off from the top. MVP. Who do you think's got it tonight?
I think it's between the two guys in the Super Bowl, first of all. And I think it's Patrick Mahomes all the way. He had an absolutely dominant season. One of the best seasons on paper you can look at as a quarterback, and he does it consistently. Patrick Mahomes lost Tyreek Hill this year and played better. How can you not give him the MVP? He had not as good of talent around him as Jalen Hurts did. I got it for Patrick Mahomes.
I it's hard because I think it's between these two players. It seems like whatever team gets to the Super Bowl, a player from that team is nominated for the MVP. We saw it last year with
Well, because we know Cooper it's not going to be Justin Jefferson. We know it's not going to be Justin Jefferson.
But I do think that he will win Offensive Player of the Year.
Yes, that's what I was going to – well, there's two guys.
Well, we'll get to that later on, but I think I'm going to have to agree with you. I think Patrick Mahomes will win MVP again. I would not be surprised, though, if Jalen Hurts won it.
No, I wouldn't either. I think Patrick Mahomes would be a little snubbed if he didn't win it, but Jalen Hurts had an amazing season. I see him winning an MVP in the future for sure, but this year's all Patty. It's all Patty. He's going to win his second. He's going to put more on his resume, slowly becoming the – I mean, he is the best quarterback of our generation, but slowly becoming an all-time great.
He's starting to climb up the ladder to Tom Brady. I guess we can say
that.
Well,
I mean, if he wins the Super Bowl this weekend, he surpasses a bunch of legends already.
Definitely.
A bunch of guys. So he ties Peyton Manning, ties Eli, passes Aaron Rodgers. So, I mean, Patrick Mahomes is going to be an all-time great. He might already be. He's not the best quarterback ever. You can't say that.
No.
I hate when people say, oh, he's the GOAT. He's not.
No.
He's 27. He's got a lot of years left. If he goes out and he wins seven Super Bowls or six Super Bowls, we can talk about it then.
If he's the greatest of all time, let him go to the 45 also like Tom Brady.
Yeah, if he plays till 45 and he is elite till then, sure, we can talk about it then. But we got a long ways to go. I am not ready to talk about Patrick Mahomes being the GOAT. He's going to dominate the AFC West for years to come. The Broncos will not win that division in probably 20 years or however long he plays.
They might not win that division ever again.
Well, they will one day. But when Patrick Mahomes is there, they will not be atop of that.
Yeah, so sorry, Patty fans, but Tom Brady, he's still my GOAT.
Well, he should be everybody's GOAT.
Yeah.
I mean, it's no question at this point. I hate people that say that. So Patrick Mahomes, two-time MVP, will be able to say that after tonight.
Maybe, but Defensive Player of the Year, you got Nick Bosa, Chris Jones, and Micah Parsons.
This one's extremely tough because I think all three guys, no matter who it goes to, deserve it. I do think it's going to go to Nick Bosa. He had a dominant season. But at the same time, like, part of my heart's like Parsons also deserves it. He was elite. He was the main focal point of that Dallas defense and why they had so much pressure on the quarterback. And then you're also sitting there like Chris Jones. He's the only person on the Chiefs defense. But I think Bosa wins it. I mean, they had the best defense in the league. He was a big part of that.
And he had 18 sacks this season also.
He was like 18 and a half or something. It was ridiculous. He deserves it.
Those are numbers that you put up when you want to win Defensive Player of the Year, and he's probably going to win it. So,
Bosa's my pick for sure.
Same with me. Offensive player again. We mentioned Justin Jefferson, but you also have Patrick Mahomes in there, which is odd. Jalen Hurts also in there, but you also have Tyreek Hill, which I think – if you think about it, it's mainly going to be between Tyreek Hill and Justin Jefferson, I think.
They don't like to give the Offensive Player of the Year award to a quarterback unless the quarterback had a record-breaking season.
I will say this. MVP, that's a quarterback award. Offensive player, that's a running back or a wide receiver.
Or even a tight end, I guess.
Maybe a tight end, but
I mean, Travis Kelce had career year for a tight end. He's not up there, so I definitely think Justin Jefferson deserves it. He, in my opinion, he is the reason that the Vikings won so many games. Him by himself. If they didn't have Justin Jefferson, they would have been like 9-8. So Justin Jefferson fully deserves. There's a reason he's part of the MVP voting. He deserves to get that award, and I think he'll win it tonight.
I agree with you. So we'll move it over to Offensive Rookie of the Year. You have Brock Purdy, Kenneth Walker III, and Garrett Wilson.
This is where it gets tough because did Brock Purdy have a great end of the season? Yes, but he only played half the season. I understand that he went undefeated in the regular season, brought him to the NFC Championship. Very impressive, and I think that might be a reason why he could win it tonight. But, man, I mean, Kenneth Walker and Garrett Wilson had phenomenal seasons. In my opinion, I think Garrett Wilson deserves it. I think two Jets are going to get the Rookies of the Year tonight because Wilson had trouble at quarterback all year and produced an amazing season. And he's going to be a great wide receiver for years to come. My pick goes with Wilson.
I would agree with you on that, but I think myself, I would pick Wilson also. But just thinking about the NFL media,
I think Brock Purdy's going to pick Brock Purdy. I almost feel like I'm like 99% sure that Brock Purdy will win it, but I think Wilson deserves it.
Yeah, so we'll go to Defensive Rookie of the Year
now. This isn't a question.
No.
It is Sauce Gardner.
Sauce Gardner.
I mean, Woolen had a great season, don't get me wrong, and so did Hutchinson, but
this is, This is not a question.
No question, because Sauce might have been the best cornerback in the league this year. So Sauce Gardner, he could be up probably for Defensive Player of the Year. I mean, I know he's not, but he could be. So Sauce Gardner all the way, no question asked. They should have already given it to him. They don't even. He doesn't even need to go to honors. It's Sauce Gardner.
I feel like out of all the awards, this is probably the most obvious one to pick.
It's clear cut.
Yeah.
Dave's looking at us all weird. We're talking about him on our podcast.
Yeah.
Hey, Dave.
All right, now we'll go comeback player of the year. You have Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, and Geno Smith.
All guys very deserving of the award. Two of those guys coming back off of injury and absolutely dominating. One of them, I don't see how it doesn't go to Geno. I know the other two guys deserve it, but you look at Geno Smith's career stats, they do not compare to this year. He had a phenomenal season. I think he was the most accurate quarterback in the league this year. He had the highest completion percentage. Geno completely deserves this award, but I don't want to discredit C-Mac or Saquon. Saquon basically carried his team on his back as a running back. After coming off an ACL injury that people were saying, hey, he's not going to be the same player, I was one of those people that said both those guys are not going to be the same player, and they were better. So Saquon deserves it. C-Mac, man, phenomenal season, elite running back. He's going to be the number one of the number one picks in many fantasy leagues next year. But you can't not give it to Geno. You can't.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, shout out to C-Mac, Colorado boy, Castle Rock, Valor Christian.
Yep.
Shout out to him for being picked for an award.
Yeah.
So that's nice. But I agree. I think Geno Smith fully deserves this award.
100%. 100%.
And then we'll just go to the final. I mean, there's two more, but one of them is Assistant Coach of the Year, which I don't
know any of them.
So. I don't know any of them. So
I have a clear cut coach. There's a clear cut for me.
Yeah. So Coach of the Year, go ahead.
Kyle Shanahan, is he up there?
Yes, he is.
He's got to win it. He had four different quarterbacks this year. He brought his third string quarterback to the NFC Championship. You can't say that's all Brock Purdy. A lot of that was Kyle Shanahan. I know Dable had an amazing season with the Giants and really turned them around, and he is deserving as well. But Kyle Shanahan made it through everything this year to make it to that NFC Championship and still got screwed over. Give it to Kyle Shanahan. That is my opinion, and I think he'll win it tonight.
I will first off say I do not think that Brian Daboll deserves the Coach of the Year. Yes, he had a good season with the Giants, got him back to where they should be. But I don't think that he will win Coach of the Year.
I mean, he turned around Daniel Jones and the Giants. He brought them to the playoffs. A much deserving role, along with Sirianni. I mean, he brought the Eagles all the way to a championship because he's the third guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
He brought the Eagles all the way to a championship after being a mid-tier team. But, man, Kyle Shanahan went through so much this year and still brought his team there. He deserves it. He is a mastermind. He's the elite coach of our generation. I think he deserves it for sure.
Yeah, and then, I mean, Sean McDermott, he had a good season, but nothing outstanding that sticks out.
No, that's what Ian would be saying to us right now.
Yeah.
Hey, Sean McDermott deserves it. No, he doesn't.
And then you have Doug Peterson, which...
I could see that. I can throw him out there. I would actually put Doug Peterson behind Shanahan because of the adversity they fought through, along with, like, I know he's not fully deserves to be.
He's not nominated, but I think he deserves to be nominated. But
so much.
Yeah, I'm gonna agree with you. I'm gonna go with Kyle Shanahan, like you mentioned, bringing in, what, four different quarterbacks?
Yeah, and one of them being Josh Johnson, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But was successful with so many different guys.
Yep, well, this has been a good show. Jack, thanks for joining me today. We got the Nuggets coming up in the next minute. We also have the Avalanche up in the next minute, taking on Tampa Bay Lightning, a Stanley Cup Final rematch. So that should be a good game, but... we hope you guys enjoy the show, enjoy the weekend, enjoy the Super Bowl. We'll be back Tuesday to discuss the game here at the Press Box on GoMileHigh.com.